Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Backtalk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Hooray, I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Backtalk. Mary, next week I'll be in Jacksonville for the condominium complex that my daughter Jessica lives in. They're opening a movie club, and I'm going to be the featured guest selected for discussion. Before we talk about Oscars, just to get them going on how you do a good discussion, The Crying Game.
Interesting choice.
Isn't it? And then
especially for Jacksonville, Florida.
I said to myself, well, no, this Amelia Perez, I think we need to look at that. And I said, now, who could handle Amelia Perez? I said, it's of course, Mary. But anyway, but I thought there was something in the air that made me do Crying Game before I was aware of Amelia Perez. So we're talking trans subject. And so I'm feeling really good about it. So next week when I open it up with them, I'll point out Amelia Perez. And because it's on Netflix, and if you're a subscriber, it costs you nothing.
Right. It's accessible from home. Right.
Which is currently it's favored in many spots.
So this film was conceived by Jacques Audiard, who's a very well-known award-winning French filmmaker who really came into his own not more than 30 years ago, and he's 72 years old, and he's still making very original films. And this film has become the most recognized film that he has ever made in terms of the number of awards and film festivals, et cetera, that it's been nominated for. So pretty, there is buzz.
Now, it won the Golden Globes for the best musical or comedy. It's a weird category. But it is a musical, but hardly a comedy for me. I have to dig a little bit for the... There are comedic elements.
There are a few moments in Amelia Perez that genuinely made me laugh. It's billed as a musical comedy crime thriller. Mm-hmm. For me, it was very short on comedy.
Yes, me too.
And very short on music. The music is used as a device to enter the mind of the four main female characters and hear what their inner thoughts and struggles are. And then also there's a couple of musical numbers that are private conversations between some of the characters. It was done in a very breathy, talky way, not great voices breaking into song. And so I just found that unappealing.
Okay. And
the style of it was very unappealing,
yes,
to me.
And I found it so unlike any musicals that I've seen. I had a sense of the songs being organic in the way that they went right into this without anything, without any preparation for the big number. They just kind
of... The big opening number.
Yeah, they really kind of just rolled into this. And I found that intriguing, and I found it not so disquieting for me, but I think tonally, it really wreaked havoc with the film. Going from a very serious subject, we're talking about cartel in Mexico, and we're talking about, we don't see the bodies, but we know they're all over the place. Consider our trans figure to be the central character. Would you agree with that? Or Zoe?
I think the character played by Zoe Saldana is really the main character.
Okay.
Rita. And we actually meet Rita first. She plays a very overworked, underappreciated lawyer in Mexico who, even though she disagrees with who her firm is representing, she ends up writing the summation that leads to his innocence of having murdered his wife, and that they convinced the jury that she committed suicide. So she's struggling, and that's where the film opens, is with this case and with Rita. And we actually follow Rita more through the whole film than we follow Manitez / Amelia.
I was so intrigued as I got into that first third or so of the film that it was tackling what is certainly a very, very popular topic, transgender politics. This is great. Then it kind of moved into the thriller aspect. So we left that part, which I found really intriguing, into a very well done job because once you see that your figure has made the transition, I mean, that's what the cartel, the big cartel leader wants, is for her as an attorney to find him a way to change sex, because he's been taking female hormones for a couple of years and he's ready.
And they do reflect back on when they're going through that process of finding the right place where he can do this anonymously. And,
yes.
You know, the right doctor, the doctor that they find insists on meeting him in person and interviewing him. And he talks about as far back in his childhood as he can remember that he has felt he is a woman.
Yeah.
and wants to make this change. So a lot has to happen, but he's somebody with resources to make it happen. And Rita becomes the mechanism by which he's able to do that. And he makes her very wealthy, and she's able to leave her very unsatisfying job with the law firm.
There's a change that goes on with her as it does in our cartel leader, and they explore it just a briefly, but how the doctor says, I can't change the soul.
Right.
I can do all that business, but I can't change the soul. And yet, do you always remain a man? You're changed into a woman? I mean, you know, big questions that we have.
Those are big questions, is what about you changes in life and what changes you in life?
Yeah.
And really, the four main characters, they're all female. They all undergo transformation, which I think is really the point of the movie.
Yes, yeah.
But it's a long, winding road to get there. And then it devolves into the thriller part of it, where much like an opera, which this did originate as the libretto for
an
opera, a lot of people die without giving anything away.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of redemption that's being sought by Amelia with who she is now versus who she was as Manitas. And to your point about the doctor's comment, Manitas is married to Jesse, who is an American, who we don't really know how they ultimately came together as the story is unfolding. Two sons. And ultimately, even though he has provided that for them and made them safe before his transition, 4 years later, she, as Amelia, meets Rita and enlists her help again because she decides she cannot live without her sons.
Yes.
And without her family. So even though Amelia has undergone this transition, she still loves her sons and loves her wife.
Yeah, yeah. And there's one point when the child says, you smell like Papa. This is wonderful, of course. It's still your Papa, even though you've changed. And it reminded me, in some way, of Mrs. Doubtfire. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah.
I mean,
which actually is a comedy.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not a great connection, but it just reminded me of that you had Robin Williams and all his makeup. How can you not tell that that is? And then the kid smelling him, as Papa said, of course it would. There's something indefinable.
Your pheromones.
And I just so much agree with your point. This is a film about change. And it's all of our central characters are going through a change, including, Selena Gomez?
Selena Gomez plays Jessie, the wife of Manita.
And I find her, although a small part, if you're expecting to see big musical numbers from her, you're not going to get them. If you go to it expecting to see her in a large role, but I was impressed by her role and by the ambivalence that she felt toward him, toward her husband that she thought was dead. It's a film with maybe too much complexity. Would be too much. It's overstuffed.
It is, I would agree with that. It's overstuffed, and there should have been more editing with a mind's eye to telling this story in a way that the audience will fully appreciate. And I think the use of music, other aspects of the film, take away from the transformational journeys that these women are on. And I actually found Jesse to be the character that makes the least amount of transition.
Yes.
And because you see all of these women gaining agency. Amelia gains agency over who she truly feels she is. Rita gains agency over her career and her life. Amelia's love, ultimate love, Epiphania, I think is her name.
Yes, a good name, actually. Epiphany.
Gains her independence and ability to live because her abusive husband has been killed by the cartels and is found dead. So you have all of these women who go through these transformations, but Jessie probably is the one who gains the least agency over her own destiny.
So, Mary, I think that we're going to see Emilia Perez popping up at the Oscars.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
The Golden Globes certainly was a good indicator of it.
Yes.
And again, if you go online, the number of awards that this has been nominated for and recognized at numerous film festivals and now the Golden Globes, it's not surprising from that perspective, but I do think the best award that it did win was it was eligible for the Palme d'Or at last year's Cannes Festival, and it won the jury prize. And the jury prize is given by the jury for a film that basically is most cutting edge, that is deeper inquiry into the human existence and the way that the story is told in the film is made. I think that's the perfect award for this film because it is like that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a film that is so jam-packed with so many different ideas and threads and opinion, not very good music and not very good lyrics. And
oh, no, it's not easy.
You won't remember any of these songs when you walk away.
No.
It's really a film that's the artists who made it love it. So it's art for artists' sake. And you see that often in the arts, which is fine. But it's not a film that I think will appeal to the broader.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the subject matter of transgender or drug cartels or, you know, women gaining agency. I think it's because of the way the story is told. And I, quite frankly, I didn't find the quality of the filming in terms of the cinematography and the set design to be that outstanding. And unfortunately for Mexico, only a very small part of it was filmed in Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
The majority of the film was filmed in studios in Paris area of France. French written, French made film in Spanish and supposed to take place in Mexico. But other than the lead actress, Carla Sofia Gasson, who actually was born in Spain, but now lives in Mexico, there's very little connection to Mexican actors and Mexican cinema, which was somewhat of a disappointment. And especially since the film cinematography wise was created in a studio, you know, the quality of the filming, I don't think, reflected that.
Yeah, you're not going to get Steven Spielberg doing a West Side Story here. It's not,
no.
It's just, to give you an idea how a real musical can be done. It intrigues me. In fact, as you were mentioning it, I see that Carla Sofia is up for the SAG nomination.
Yes.
For the best performance by a female actor in the leading role. And I remember in The Crying Game, that was a bit of a problem with Jay Davidson playing Dill. How do you nominate him for the role?
Well, we're 30 years, I think almost 30 years
over
past
30
The
years,
Crying Game.
I know, right?
So, yeah. I mean, things certainly have changed. And Carla Sofia Gasson is a transgender woman, has been acting for a really long time. And I do so appreciate her performance in this.
Me too.
Even as Manitas. And then
yes, in fact, I'm so glad you said that because I'm more impressed by her performance as Manitas. They put the gold teeth in and they do all things to make her look male shabby, but still pretty impressive. And I was too as her when we see her as a woman. I find she deserves a nomination. The cast is nominated as well for SAG.
Yeah, and they actually won the Golden Globes Cast Award.
Yes.
In some manner, for actress collectively, I'm not sure which award, but I mean, the cast is outstanding. There's really not a weak link. But again, I go back to the quality of the film in its totality. And for me, it's not a film that 30 years from now you're going to be presenting at Jacksonville Condominium Association like you are the Crying Game.
There are others on the trans subject over the last few years, and I'm wondering if you remember any of these.
So am I. I haven't seen this list. us to know what you're going to be talking about.
One that came about was in 2015. So it was The Danish Girl. And this is with...
Eddie Redmayne.
Yep. Their marriage and work evolve as they navigate Lily's groundbreaking journey as a transgender pioneer. Not heavy duty at all about that. Just Redmayne was believable. Boys Don't Cry. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
And that was with Hilary Swank.
Yes. And she won an Academy Award for that.
Yeah. And pretty impressive.
And I think that was based on the true story of, or inspired by Matthew Shepard, maybe.
It could be, yeah.
And a little bit.
Yeah. And some comedic ones like Rocky Horror and Hedwig.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Not a fan of Rocky Horror. I finally did see it in a theater, and I was like, what's all the fuss about? For Hedwig and the Angry Inch, I saw it on stage first and hated it, so I was not willing to go see the film.
It is a bit of a mess, isn't it?
It's a mess.
I know it is.
There are people who love it,
I did not. No, I don't either.
Not in that camp.
No, I'm with you on that. One in 1970 that I don't remember really well, but Myra Breckinridge was the first one to, not the first one, but it made me get my attention about the transgender business. Raquel Welch was actually in Myra Breckinridge. Anyway, in 1970, that kind of brought that up. Then Madame Butterfly, right?
Yes.
We've had that around a long time. Barry
would love
that.
Long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, especially in the times that we're living in, people seem to forget that way back in the theatrical storytelling age, it was not viewed as proper for women to be actors. So every role... female, male, horse, dog, what have you, were played by male actors.
Sure.
So this idea of men performing as women and then obviously carrying that forward into actual gender identity and transgender has been around for centuries.
Oh,
and
Shakespeare.
And will be around for centuries. Because it's just... human nature. It's the human evolution.
They actually take my advice and go see it. And I know that it's a qualified advice and, on your part.
At
your own risk. What do they bring away from it? I speculate what you bring away from it as a viewer.
I think it certainly treats Amelia and her quest with dignity. So that's an important message for everyone to hear. And we talked a little while ago about the agency that three out of the four female characters who drive this story achieve through their transformation. And that's another aspect that I hope people will take away in terms of that women, regardless of whether they're trans or cis, still struggle in a patriarchal society. Gaining agency allows them to live their full human existence.
And for me, in addition to that, the idea of identity and of changing identities, which has become a prominent one for us with the various manipulations that the internet can bring for identities. Who are you really? And have you fabricated another identity or whatever? And then going back to the doctor's comment that he can't change the soul, even though he can change everything they look like. I find it fascinating to think about, can you actually expunge who you were and create a new person? Or, as the film suggests, you can't always do that. You can't fully do that.
But Amelia certainly gives it a good try. We haven't talked about as Amelia, she forms a nonprofit with Rita.
Yes.
Really through a chance encounter at a cafe of a woman who's distributing posters still looking for her son who has disappeared. They form a nonprofit mostly through Amelia's drive to help provide closure to those parents and family members who are still grieving and still don't know what happened to their loved one. So that's her redemptive journey.
Yes.
And so she certainly tries to change her soul. The movie delivers the message that it does bring her joy in terms of helping people heal in that way.
And the area of that redemptive quality reminds me that with all that has gone through, and with Amelia, with the change, the significant change that anybody could go through, is that there's maybe a core of you somewhere there waiting to come out. And this part that I find very, very salutary, change that comes mid-movie, because you say to yourself, okay, so she's changed, and now what happens? And the director, writer's director, take you to what happens after it. And I like that whole notion. Yeah, why not? I find that this character, Amelia, that latter part reveals why the kids still love him. And why the Selena Gomez character apparently still loves him. And you go back to the film and say to yourself, there's this humanity coming through this brutal murderer. And not everything is black and white.
It's not black and white. And to your point about the complexity of the character and whether or not she can truly be redemptive, when her family is threatened, she resorts back to her old ways, leads to the series of events that bring about the ending.
Yeah, the tragic ending.
The very tragic operatic ending.
Right, yeah, very much so. And also, there's some humor here in the telenovela. I'm not sure I've ever seen one, but I have an idea they're really pretty campy. A soap opera.
Yes.
and so that's some of the comedy that comes out of this. Well, Mayor, I'm going to tell you, I knew we'd get something really good out of Amelia Perez. I just want everybody to be aware that this is a film worth noting as we move to the big event, the big Oscars year.
It is, and again, because I think it's a film that artists made for artists and will love, that it probably will do very well in terms of nominations. I don't know if it'll do well on the actual receiving of the awards. And unfortunately, Oscar and SAG nominations have been delayed due to the fires in Los Angeles. So we won't find out. And certainly our thoughts and prayers are with people in the LA area. And so many of them make the movies that we love to talk about on the show. So want to make sure that we acknowledge that, they certainly are on our minds and in our hearts, and hopefully they'll be telling stories again in the future.
Let's just say I don't think you'll be disappointed if you see it. If you turn on your Netflix and say, all right, Irina and DeSanta, what do they know? Let me see here. I'll challenge them. And I think you might find it, the word would be interesting.
It might be intriguing enough for you to continue to watch the story. And I actually felt like after I'd watched the whole film, I would have enjoyed it more if it would not have tried to be a musical. I thought the story was strong enough that it didn't need that.
Yeah, and that will come up into your consciousness when you look at it. To me, that adds interest to it, but also how do you have a successful film that has such a mixture here? Well, see for yourself.